Faith does not come easily to me. Maybe you're one of those people who has the gift of faith. Faith for you is kind of like falling off a log. It just comes naturally. But it doesn't for me. I have to fight for faith. Each morning I get up and affirm over again, today I believe. It's not the big questions that bother me. I don't question if there's a God or if He created the world. I have no doubts whatsoever about the character of Christ or the events of the cross. It's literal questions that nag at me and erode my confidence in faith. Questions like, can people really change? Questions about why there's so much pain and ugliness in our world. Questions about the church and when are we going to wake up and realize our mission in this world? And is God really crazy enough to entrust us with a world-changing mission? And so I want to tell you that there are a handful of feelings that I wrestle with pretty consistently as I try to live the life of faith. And I'm not bragging about these things. In fact, I'm confessing them. I'm not proud that I struggle with faith or that I have these feelings, but I want to tell you what they are because I think it may be encouraging to you. I often feel lonely in my faith. That's not that I don't appreciate my brothers and sisters in Christ or that I don't enjoy fellowship and friendship in the church. It's not that. But I have to tell you, I miss my master. I wish I could see Jesus and talk to Him and touch Him. I wish I could take Him to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. And I've got some questions I'd like to ask Him and hear His answer. I wish I could be with Jesus like I'm with a friend. I feel overwhelmed a lot of times in my faith. See, I know Jesus has left His mission in the world to us and to me. And the fact is, I'm not up to that. I'm not big enough for that. I look at what God is doing in the world, I look at what Jesus was trying to do in the world, and I feel absolutely overwhelmed to be His partner in that. I don't know enough. I'm not a nice enough person. I struggle with simple things, small things, sinful things. And I feel overwhelmed to take on the job God is trying to accomplish in this world. I feel afraid sometimes. I know that God wants me to testify to the truth. I know He wants me to speak up on His behalf. I know I ought to be talking to friends and neighbors, but just between you and me, it's not easy for me to do. I don't like being rejected. I don't like feeling ridiculed. I don't like talking to people who look at me strangely when I talk about God and heaven and spirit, and so I'm afraid. And too often, instead of speaking out boldly, I just stifle myself. A lot of times I feel not just unequipped, I feel incapable. You see, if God is going to do in this world what needs to be done in order for people to change, in order for lives to be transformed, there have to happen some things I cannot make happen. And I know going in, I don't have some of the necessary tools that I can't make somebody listen. I can't change their mind. I can't convict them of sin. I can't break their hearts and cause them to repent. Those are things that have to happen if the world is going to come to an understanding of God, but I can't make those things happen. All I have are a few words and my own story. It's going to take a power bigger than me to do the necessary work. It's going to make a difference in this world. And I'll confess to you, there are just a lot of times in my walk of faith where I feel small. I mean, every time I bump into God, I feel small. Every time I bump into Jesus and into the kingdom and into this idea of eternity and into, I feel small. I feel like God is coming at me like a fire hydrant, and I'm sitting there with a straw. All I'm capable of is some sips and swallows, and gosh, here he comes. Whenever I talk about this, literally all over the world, I see, just as I'm seeing today, some heads nodding. Not all of you feel that way. Not all of you struggle with this, but some of you do. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You feel those same ways yourself. And I don't think it's uncommon for people to wrestle with faith and to feel some of those things, fear and inadequacy and smallness and loneliness. In fact, I want to suggest to you that that is exactly how the apostles felt. That's how they interacted with faith. It wasn't easy for them either. And they struggled with this range of uncomfortable feelings as they tried to figure out how could they be good followers of Jesus. In fact, I want to remind you of that last night when Jesus was gathered with his disciples in the upper room. They were taking the supper we just took. And Jesus is having to tell those men on that occasion, I'm leaving. I'm going away. Where I'm going, you can't follow. You have to stay here while I go back to the Father. Time after time in this Last Supper, Jesus gives the disciples really hard news. He's been trying to tell them for months. They haven't listened. He's talked about the cross. They didn't understand. He's talked about the resurrection. They didn't get it. He talked about going back to the Father. They were oblivious. But now tonight, they can't ignore it anymore. Jesus tells them over and over again, I'm going away. I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. You've got to stay here. You've got to continue the mission. And I promise you, as they sat around that table, They lost their appetite. And suddenly the reality of what was about to happen came crushing home. And they felt all five of those feelings I just mentioned to you. They were suddenly lonely. Already that night, Jesus is talking to them. They're feeling abandoned by, what do you mean you're going away? We left our fishing business. We left our families. We've been wandering around after you for 3 years now. We've given our lives lock, stock, and barrel to you, and you're leaving? That's exactly how they were feeling. What do you do now? Who's going to lead us now? They were feeling bereft of Jesus' presence. They wanted him to stay, but he was going to leave. And don't you know they were feeling inadequate? You know, they were called disciples, but they were never very good disciples. Could I say that just between you and me? Jesus would say something, they wouldn't understand it. Jesus would go somewhere they didn't want to go. Jesus would want to teach them something, they didn't listen. Now, Jesus is leaving, and he's saying, what I've been doing, you must do. My mission is now your mission. What I've been doing in this world, you've got to take over and carry on. Really? They felt afraid. They're going to feel more afraid in the days ahead. But already, as Jesus talks about, he's going to be arrested, he's going to be beaten, he's going to be tried, he's going to be crucified, they're scared to death. Jesus is telling them, you've got to stay and do what I've been doing. You've got to say what I've been saying. They're about to get a front row seat to what the world does to people who tell them the truth. And now Jesus is saying, you've got to tell the world the truth. And what they're going to do to me, they're going to do to you. They're scared. And I promise you, they felt absolutely unequipped and incapable of doing what needed to be done. Listen, if Jesus couldn't accomplish it, if he couldn't change the Pharisees' minds, if he couldn't get people to love the truth, what hope did they have? I mean, come on, this is Peter. This is Matthew, the tax collector. These weren't theological geniuses. They hadn't been to seminary. They didn't have any degrees. And yet here was Jesus saying, you're going to change the world. You're going to turn the world upside down. And they're looking around at each other going, who? Us? And they did feel small. Jesus was the kind of presence that he walked into a room and he filled the room. There's a largeness to Jesus, an otherness to Jesus. But that wasn't them. Not John. Not Andrew. They're just fishermen. And here is God coming at them like a fire hydrant, and they can't open their mouths large enough to take him in. They're just not big enough to contain him, and yet they must, because Jesus is leaving and they've got to stay behind. So here's Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16 telling his disciples the bad news, I'm going away, you've got to stay behind. And here are all these emotions coming to the surface in these disciples. Jesus is dealing with this issue on that last night. Get ready, it's coming, and I know you're going to have some difficult feelings. So I have a gift for you, Jesus said. I have something I want to leave with you to help you cope. And what was that? What it wasn't was a pair of work gloves and a rope with a knot in it. Hey guys, I'm coming back in about 2,500 years. If you could just hang on long enough, be persistent, don't let go. That's not what he gave them. What he didn't give them was, hey, I'm going away, you've got to keep going with my mission. But here's the book of Acts. There's a great pattern there. If you'll just follow it, all's going to be fine. What Jesus gives the 12 is the Holy Spirit. I'm going away, you've got to stay here, but in order to help you stay here, I am giving you, I am sending you, my Father is giving you the Holy Spirit. And in this 13th, 15th, 16th chapter of John, Jesus begins to unpack over and over again why the Spirit is coming, what the Spirit is going to do for these 11 gentlemen, and why that's going to make a difference for them 3 weeks later, and 4 years later, and 30 years later. What Jesus leaves them is the Holy Spirit. Five times he talks about the Spirit in those three chapters. He talks about it, and then he goes and talks about something else. Then he comes back and talks about the Spirit, then he goes and talks about something else. Then he comes back and talks again about the Holy Spirit. I mean, five times. It is the most dominant, repetitive theme in all of that final discourse. Jesus will not leave it alone. And what he tells them is something we need to hear. Now, we're going to put some passages up here. Scholars call these the paraclete passages, the companion passages, the comforter passages, the passages where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And I want us to listen with new ears, fresh ears, to what Jesus tells them about the Holy Spirit so that we can ask the question, what is he telling us? First, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to be me in another form. He is going to be my presence with you. I'm leaving. I've got to go back and be with the Father, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I will be with you because the Holy Spirit is going to come, and the Holy Spirit will be me for you. This other paraclete, who's the first paraclete? Jesus himself. Another one like me is going to come, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him, but you will accept him, for he will live in you and be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus for the disciples. In the second passage, Jesus tells them, look, when the Spirit comes, he is going to teach you all things. And he didn't mean this Holy Spirit is going to teach us quantum physics or political science. He did mean, I'm leaving you my mission, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to teach you everything you need to know in order to accomplish my mission. He's going to equip you. He's going to show you how to do what I have been doing. You're not left on your own. You're not left to your own devices. This isn't just up to your wisdom and your strength. The Holy Spirit will train you how to do what I have been doing. So, here's the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, He's going to help you deal with your fears. You see, this Holy Spirit is going to testify to me. It's not all up to you. The Holy Spirit is walking around in the world testifying to the truth that is in me, and He will help you testify. Do you remember that little passage about where don't worry what you're going to say when you appear before princes and kings and judges, and the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words. That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm going to send you the Spirit so you don't have to be afraid. So when you're tempted to be timid, you can speak out boldly. When you don't have the words, the Spirit will give you the words. The Holy Spirit's going to help you be bold. The Holy Spirit is going to help you be my witnesses. When the Spirit comes, says Jesus, He's going to be doing some things in the world you cannot do. And this is a powerful insight, guys. Look at the next slide. It's good for you that I'm going away, because until I go away, the Paraclete won't come. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt. We can't do that. They couldn't do that. Didn't matter how eloquent their sermons were, didn't matter how much they told about their own broken lives, the fact is, it is the Spirit who's going to convict the world. It's the Spirit who's going to break the world's heart. It's the Spirit who gets people ready to hear the good news of the gospel. Peter the fisherman wasn't capable of doing that. Bartholomew? Philip? They couldn't do that. But the Spirit will, said Jesus. And finally, probably most profoundly at all, Jesus tells the disciples on this final night, this Spirit, when He comes to you, He's going to make you bigger people. He's going to help you hold the fullness of God. He's going to transform you into people who are more like me, so that you can go in the world and carry me to the world. He will guide you into all truth, and He's going to do that by taking who I am and putting that in you. So here the disciples giving the bad news, I'm leaving, you're staying. Here are the disciples dealing with all of these difficult emotions about that. And here's Jesus pouring into them a promise of the Holy Spirit. And because the Spirit is coming, you're not losing me, I'm right here with you. Because the Spirit is coming, He's going to equip you to do the work I'm leaving for you to do. Because the Spirit is coming, you don't have to be afraid. He's going to testify. He'll help you to testify. Because the Spirit is coming, He's going to be doing some things in the world that you can't do. You're just going to piggyback on Him to accomplish the work of the kingdom. And by the way, because the Spirit is coming, you are going to be people who live larger lives, who have bigger souls, who can contain the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but if I were sitting there with the 12 that night, I would want to hear about that Holy Spirit. If I were one of the 12, I'd need to hear about something bigger than me to help me march into the future with a confident step. So the question I have for you today as we close, the question I have for you is, are the promises Jesus made to them promises He makes for us as well? Are these words for us? There are those who will tell you no. No, these words are for the 12 and the 12 only. These are just apostle words. They're not grunt words. These are words for the few, not for the many. These are words just for the 12, not for all of those who follow in their steps for all time to come. They will tell you that what Jesus says in this final discourse, John 14, 15, and 16, are just for the apostles. And then they'll ask them, well, what about when he says love one another? Oh, well, yeah, that's for everybody. That's not just for the 12. Okay, what about when Jesus says, remain in me and I will... Well, yeah, that's for everybody too. What about when Jesus says the world's going to hate you and resist that? Well, yeah, okay, yeah, that's for us. What it boils down to is the people who tell us these words are not for us, the only thing that's not for us are the Holy Spirit words. Everything else applies to us. Well, forgive me, they are dead wrong. These Holy Spirit words are also for us. Just like the love one another and remain in me and the world is going to hate. All of this, though spoken in an upper room to 11 men, John's sitting there scribbling as fast as he can to write down. 30 years later, he's remembering these words and he's speaking them to other followers so that we can read them and hear. John knows Jesus meant these words for more than just the people in that room. Jesus meant these words for people in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, for people in Des Moines 2,000 years later. These words are for us. I love my Bible, but I'm thankful that the Bible isn't the only thing I have as I try to follow Jesus Christ. I love you, but I'm thankful you're not the only thing I've got as I try to follow Jesus Christ. I love the book of Acts and I love the first century church, but I'm glad their example isn't the only thing I've got as I try to follow Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that maybe, just maybe, I have access to the same Holy Spirit Jesus gave them access to, so that I can find from that Spirit and in that Spirit the same things they found in the Spirit.
And if that's the case, I want to suggest to you
that the sleep battery.
That's all right.
That's all
right.
I'll yell.
I suggest to you that if we have the Holy Spirit, we have the presence of Jesus with us every day at a very intimate and personal
level. We don't have to feel lonely. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And I would suggest to you that if there are times we don't know what we're doing and we can't figure out a path forward and we're confused, and it's all right. The Holy Spirit's going to teach us everything we need to know in order to accomplish our mission. We don't have to be afraid. Yes, we will be afraid because we're like that after all. But the Holy Spirit is testifying to the people you love. And he's giving you opportunities to testify. He's giving you the eyes to see when the moment is right. He's giving you the right words to speak when that time comes. He is testifying and teaching you to testify. And the Spirit is still present and active in our world. The Spirit is still convicting people of sin and guilt and truth. It's not all up to us and our eloquent witness. We don't have to memorize the latest program in personal evangelism. All we've got to do is be willing to do our part, counting on the Holy Spirit to do His part. I have someone I love very much who has lost faith. And I've had dozens of conversations. I wish I had something in my power to change their mind. I don't. And so every day I'm praying, Holy Spirit, do what you promised you would do. Convict that person of truth. And when the time comes, let me know when I can speak up and partner with you. And this Spirit is active right now to make us larger people. That Spirit is with us to to help us hold more and more and more of the glory of God. That Spirit is taking who Jesus is and making us more like Him so that we can hold more of God. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news.
Amen.
And I tell you, sometimes us small churches, we get a little intimidated because we don't have the big crowds and the big budgets and the big programs, and we think, how in the world are we going to... Here's a little room with 12 guys in it, and they changed the world. But they didn't do it because they were that smart. They didn't do it because they were so capable. They did it because Jesus, before He left, gave them the Holy Spirit and said, here's your ticket to the future. We need to punch that same ticket, if I may say. We need to count on that same presence, that same power. Over the next few weeks, Alfonso and Ron are going to be taking this study, and we're going to be looking at each one of these passages in some detail. They're going to look at this, and they're going to unpack this for us, and we're going to be thinking about the Holy Spirit. We're doing that because there is no lesson more important for God's people today than lessons about the Holy Spirit. That is basic, fundamental stuff. And yet many of you have not heard much teaching on the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Shame on you. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks. I hope it'll be a blessing to your life. I hope it'll help you walk with confidence. I hope it'll help you see we do have a future, not because of us, but because of Him. I want to commend the Holy Spirit to you. God, pour Him out upon us. Pour Him out more and more. Don't let us be afraid of His presence, as if the presence of the Holy Spirit means you're going to be rolling in the aisles and speaking in tongues and doing all. That's not what this is about. It's about something much more important. Presence. Power. Confidence. A work in this world that's bigger than us. A power in this world that's bigger than us. And our being the kind of people. Becoming the kind of people. God can carry His message to a broken world. What do you think about that? Are you up for that? I hope so. May God bless us as we move forward. Today, if you've been excited by this, if you've been touched by this, if you want to testify that God's Spirit has made a difference in your life, if you want to know how to have more of His Spirit within you, we're going to sing a song. All you've got to do is raise your hand and say, I'm in. Come forward or talk to the person next to you. And we want to encourage you. That's one of the things we gather together. So let's stand together and sing.